section begins. The King James Version reads it this way. And there went great multitudes with him. With Jesus, don't you know that thrilled him? That great multitudes would follow after him. That would thrill us. Is that what Jesus was looking for? Is that what Jesus was focused on? Read this section with me. We're beginning in verse 25 now. And there was great multitudes with him. And he turned and he said to those multitudes, I am so glad you are here. What we need is something even grander. We need something even better. We need something to attract even more people. That's not what he says, folks. And there were great multitudes with him. And he turned to that multitude and he said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, folks, that's not the way you attract multitudes. That's counterintuitive. That's just not the way you do it. And Jesus is not finished. He says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counts the cost, whether he has what it takes to finish it? Lest haply after he's laid the foundation and he's not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to make fun of him, begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build, but he's not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, doesn't first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him that comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends an ambassador and he desires of him conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he can't be my disciple. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It's neither fit for the land or for the dump, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear now, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Our culture is ever changing, and it's difficult for us sometimes to see how things kind of sift down even out of our culture into the church. Do you know that there's a word in your Bible, it's only found three times, that is so popular in our culture today that, you know, we just hear it all the time. And yet it's found only three times in your Bible, only three times. It is the word Christian. It's found in Acts chapter 11, verse number 26, where at Antioch the disciples were called Christians for the very first time. It's found in Acts chapter 26 where a king by the name of Agrippa, having heard the apostle Paul expound the word of God to him, says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And it's found in 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse number 17 where the apostle Peter says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God on this behalf. Only three times. Our Lord never used it. He never used the word Christian. Never do we find it recorded that it came from his lips. And yet you'd think that that's just something that just, man, it's here. It just comes out of our, straight out of our Bibles. And it's a word that it's a name that we ought to hold dear. Christ, and a little suffix after it, which means in association with. Christian. The old preachers used to say Christ, and then it's I-A-N, which means I am nothing without Christ. Christian. And yet our Lord never used it. And if you're searching for it in your Bible, you'll only find it 3 times. But there is another word. There is another word which Jesus used a lot, and which his apostles used a lot, and that's the word disciple. In fact, it's found 256 times in the pages of the King James Version of your New Testament. 256 times. Disciple. It means learner, follower. It's from the word which we get our word intern from. An intern is a learner, a follower of another. So a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. But you know, even that word has its problems in our culture today. I'm a part of a text group. It's just a group of us men who we got asked if we'd be a part of this, and you know, I'm just a part of this text group. And every day, some member of this text group will send a thought or send a scripture or send a question by text to all of us. And men will start responding back to it. And if you guys know me, I don't care too much for the televisions and I don't care too much for telephones. And so, yeah, I get the text. I wouldn't even have that thing if my kids hadn't said, Dad, you need to get this. We're getting it for you. Here, use it. I look at the text and, you know, I seldom respond back to it. But occasionally, once in a while, one of these guys will text and they'll text me specifically. And they'll call my name in there. I glance at it. David, oh, they're talking to me now. David, are you following this? Hey, I don't know too much about tweet. I don't do it. But I've heard that if you've got a Twitter account, you can have these followers. And all it means is you're just paying attention. You know, you're just casually noticing. Kind of like me in the text group, you know. I'm just casually noticing it. Okay, I read what you say, now I go on and do what I'm doing. All right, follower, you're a follower. Are you following this? Is that what Jesus meant when he said, here's what it takes to be one of my disciples? Just kind of pay attention. Kind of. You know, kind of take note. Kind of give some thought to it once in a while. Is that what he's talking about? Is that what he's referring to? And the answer is absolutely not. But this is the word that Jesus used. Disciple. Disciple. If you want to be one of my disciples, here's what it takes. If you don't do this, you can't be one of my disciples. Unless you do this, you can't be one of my disciples. What was it that the people that Jesus was talking to, what did they hear when he talked to them and told them, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to be my follower, if you want to be my learner, if you want to be my intern, here's what it requires. What did they hear? Folks, many of them, I'm convinced, and I'm not just convinced, I read about them. Many of them were just like us. They're just like so many of us, that when it comes to being a follower of Jesus Christ, he can say it, and he can say it in no uncertain terms. He can say it as plain as it can possibly be said, but we hear what we want to hear. And we go ahead and we do what we want to do. What did they hear? Well, I'll tell you what they didn't hear. They did not hear, come and make me a part of your life. They never heard that. Read that. Read that section. Did Jesus, do you get anywhere in there? Jesus saying, hey, make me a part of your life. Because that's what many hear. That's what many hear today. Hey, won't you come be a Christian? Come be a Christian. Or you can even say, come be a follower of Jesus Christ. And to them, what they're hearing is, make Jesus a part of your life. If you're intently listening to Jesus, if you're intently listening to his word, you're not hearing that. What you're hearing Jesus say to you is not, make me a part of your life. He's saying, I want to be first. I want everything in your life to be about me. To be about me. But that's not what we're hearing. We've got this casual concept of Christianity. You can ask almost anyone, are you a Christian? And you'll get the response back, well, sure I am. Because what they're hearing is, are you Buddhist? No, I'm not Buddhist. Are you Muslim? No, I'm not Muslim. Are you an atheist? Well, no, I'm not an atheist. Well, what are you? I'm a Christian. And so with that kind of casual thought toward this word Christian, what you get is a person can go anywhere they want to go. They can go anywhere. They can do anything they want to do. They can say anything they want to say. But they're Christians and you better not question it. Would Jesus have questioned it? That's my question for you. Would Jesus have questioned that? Would Jesus have called that person a Christian? Because that's what's under consideration. When you hear, like, come be a follower of Jesus. Well, just that to them, that just means making him a part of their day-to-day lives. You know, they'll attend a service once in a while. Maybe they'll attend two. They might attend three in the course of a week. But they got Jesus in this little box, and now they've got their obligations to Jesus taken care of, and they'll go live any way they want to the rest of the week. No, Jesus is not saying. And this multitude did not hear Jesus say, make me a part of your life. They heard Jesus say, make me first in your life. Make my life, make your life be about me. In everything, make it be about me. Here's something else they did not hear him say. When he talked to them about being one of his disciples, they did not hear him say, like me. Like me. Here's what they did hear him say. You come be like me. Because that's a challenge, folks. There's a world of difference between the two. In fact, in a recent survey, a massive amount of people were asked about their attitude toward Jesus Christ. And it was overwhelmingly positive. And then the next question right behind it was, give us your attitude about Christians then. And it was overwhelmingly negative. Why? Why could that? How could that be true? That Jesus Christ could have a could be positive in the eyes of the world, but when it comes to me and you as Christians, they don't think too much of us, folks. I just wonder. I'm just wondering now: is it because we're living like Christ, or because we're not living like him? Do they see Christ, who they have a positive opinion of? When they see me, do they see Christ living in me? Or is the opposite of that true, and that's the reason for their negative opinion of Christianity? Jesus never said, like me, feel good about me. feel good about me. He's saying, you come be just like me. Just like me. What a challenge that is. But what a blessing that is. That we get to be, we get to decide to choose. And Jesus is saying, hey, count the cost. As you're making your decision about whether or not to be one of my disciples, count the cost. Well, you wouldn't start building a house without counting the cost, would you? You wouldn't, a king wouldn't go to war against another king without counting the cost, would he? Then neither should you even think about being one of my disciples without first counting the cost. And here's the cost. If any man forsakes not all that he hath, he cannot be one of my disciples. So count the cost. Count the cost. What a challenge. What a challenge. That we can live like Jesus. We can be like Christ. We can be one of his followers. We can be one of his learners. We can be his intern. And living just as close as we can to the way he lived. Loving the way he loved. Feeling about sin the way he felt about sin. Thinking about things the way he thought about things. Seeing people the way he saw people. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. But folks, it's real hard in the culture we're living in, because when we hear Christian, if we're not careful, we're not hearing what the Bible's talking about. You see, a Christian is a disciple of Jesus Christ. And when we hear the word disciple, follower of Jesus Christ, if we're not careful, we'll hear what our society believes and thinks and feels. And we're not hearing what Jesus said about being his disciple. You remember one time Jesus told a parable about soils? It's found in Luke chapter 8. Jesus told a parable about soils. He told about a sower that went out to sow, and as he sowed, some fell among the wayside, some fell on the stony ground, some fell among the thorns, and some fell on good soil. And his disciples asked him, what does this parable mean? This is one of those occasions where Jesus not just tells us the parable, but tells us exactly what he intends for us to get out of that parable. And we have it recorded for us in Luke chapter 8. But again, if we're not careful, we'll look at it and we always apply it to those who aren't disciples of Christ, to those who aren't Christians. But folks, it has as much application for you and I as it has for them. Jesus said a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. That ground that was hard. It was so hard that the seed couldn't penetrate it. And yes, that have application to a lot of people who aren't yet Christians, who are not Christians, and maybe never will be. But does it have any application to you and I who are Christians? Well, even this morning, as we're talking about the word that Jesus used, disciple, being one of his disciples. What does it take to be one of his disciples? What did Jesus say? Jesus said you got to hate father and mother and sister and brother and wife and children. Yeah, your own life. Or you can't be my disciple. Jesus said, if a man will not forsake all that he hath and be my, then he can't be one of my disciples. And our hearts are just open to that, right? We're just sitting here thinking, yes, that's what I want to be. I want to be one of his disciples. So I'm going to go, I'm going to forsake all that I have. I'm going to make Jesus first in my life. I'm going to, everything, my family, my work, every aspect of my life is going to be about Christ. Or is it possible for those of us who would call ourselves Christians and think of ourselves as disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, that word has as much trouble penetrating it into our hearts as it does into the heart of a non-believer? Folks, I just say, you know, it just seemed logical to me that if anybody ought to be living this, it ought to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Yes or no? If anybody's going to live it and the world's ever going to see it, it ought to be through those people who are disciples of Christ. Or we're not disciples, really, at all. Jesus says that man went out to sow, some fell on stony ground. Hey, that seed came up. Looked like it was going to be a great crop. That seed came up, but as soon as the sun came up, good. Because there was no depth of root, the plant died. Produced no fruit. Why? Because it died. It had no root. Is there application of that to those who aren't Christians? Sure there is. But is there application of that to those of us who are Christians? If we're a child of God, we ought to be bearing fruit, right? If we're a disciple of Jesus Christ, we ought to have root. We ought to have root. Root that's going to produce a plant that's going to produce fruit. Yeah. But for many who, if you ask them, Christian, yes or no? Yes, I am. The root's never gone down deep enough to produce anything. In effect, they're dead. They're dead. Jesus said, as the man went out to sow seed, some fell among the thorns. Now he tells us what those thorns are in his mind. Jesus said it's the riches, the cares, and the pleasures of this world. Now that's what Jesus said. That's not what the preacher said. That's what Jesus said he had in mind when he talked about the thorns. That seed came up. But it got choked out. Choked out by what? By riches. By cares. And by the pleasures of this world. Does that have application to those who are out in the world? Sure, many of them. Sure. There's many of them out there. But does it have application to anybody in here? Could it have application to anybody in here? And the answer is yes. Yes. What's number one in your life? Well, it's making money. What's number one in your life? What are you focused on right now? Well, it's about my pleasure. It's about this. It's about that. What's number one in your life? Well, I'm going through some tough times right now. I'm going through some difficulties. So it's the cares in your life that are first, right? And what did Jesus say? Who did Jesus say has to be first in order for you to be one of his disciples? He's got to be. But then some fell on good soil, didn't it? Some fell on good soil, and it sprung forth, and it brought forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And that's it. You see, folks, what I'm trying to get across to you is that Jesus never looked for a crowd of people who he knew was going to crowd them out of his life. I'm going to say that again. Jesus never looked for a crowd of people that he knew was going to crowd him out of their lives. Did he invite them? Yes, he did. But did they need to understand clearly what it was going to take in order to be one of his disciples? Yes, they did. Did he tell them? Yes, he did. Was he joking? No, he wasn't. In fact, in John chapter 6, Jesus begins talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Folks, that's just another way of talking about making it all about me. Jesus was saying, make it all about me. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. Make it all about me. And as he began to talk about that, many of his disciples began to go away and followed him no more. No more. Then why did Jesus talk about eating his flesh and drinking his blood? Didn't he know that it was going to cause many to leave? He knew it. He's just weeding out the chaff. He's weeding out the chaff. He's getting down to where it's at. His disciples come to him and he said, will you also go away? Peter answered and said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life, and we know that thou art the Christ and the way to eternal life. What's Peter saying? We're not leaving. We're not leaving. Some will leave. They're going to leave. Why? Because when it gets down to it, they weren't disciples anyway. Who were the disciples? The ones that stayed. The ones who had that root that had gone deep into the soil and it produced that plant that would produce that fruit that Jesus was looking for. See, it's hard sometimes for us to look and to say, that's a disciple and that's not. You say, well, you're not supposed to be judging anyway. Listen, even Jesus was a fruit inspector, wasn't he? You'll know them by their fruits. That's what Jesus said to me. You'll know them by their fruits. But it's hard for us to tell. Because if you ask, Christian, yes or no? Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Disciple, follower of Jesus Christ, yes or no? What's first in your life? It's my family. That's what's first in my life. Ahead of everything else, it's my family. Really? What did Jesus say about that? What did Jesus say about that? You can't be mine, disciple, if that's going to be your attitude now. Count the cost. Count the cost. But you can't be it. You can't be it. That's tough, isn't it? That's tough. But you see, folks, Jesus has never been about a crowd that he knew was going to crowd him out of their lives. He's looking for those who are true followers, true learners of his, true interns of his. And so the challenge, even this morning, as we talked about these things, there's a challenge to two classifications of people. First of all, there's the challenge to those of us who are Christians. We need to be looking into our own hearts and into our own lives and asking ourselves, I don't get to decide who's a disciple of Jesus and who's not. Am I a disciple? I don't get to decide. Who gets to decide? Jesus gets to decide, right? He gets to decide. Now, I got some decisions I can make regarding it. But I don't get to say I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ and I don't care what anybody says. No. Jesus gets to decide. Jesus gets to decide. Am I a disciple of Jesus Christ, then I'm going to have to listen to what Jesus said. Because he didn't pull any punches, did he? He didn't talk in languages too far over our heads for us to comprehend and to understand. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Don't be listening for what you want to hear. Be listening for what he's saying to you. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so the challenge is to those of us who refer to ourselves as disciples of Jesus Christ, followers of his, learners of his. Am I really? Or have I just let the world and its concept of Christianity fall out and bleed over into my life to the point where I think I'm something I'm really not? The second category of people who are challenged by the words of Jesus are those who are not Christians. And Jesus' message to you would be this: don't let those people who say they're Christians but they're not, who say they're my disciples but they're not, keep you from becoming the real deal. I want you, Jesus would say. I'm inviting you. Be one of my disciples. But don't let those people who claim to be my disciples, but they're not, and I know it, don't let them keep you from becoming the real deal. I mean the real deal. And that's what I'm scared to death is going on. In our world today, Satan is really good at what he does. And he'll put our focus on the followers, quote unquote, rather than upon the leader. And even if we became Christians, we become Christians just like those who act just like those, who behave just like those, who treat Christ just like those, who say they're one of his disciples, who say they're one of his followers, but really, they're not. Really, they're not. And so to the person who's not a Christian, Jesus' challenge is, don't let those people keep you from becoming the real deal, from becoming one of my disciples. Here's what it takes. Here's what's required. You'll be blessed by it. Become one of my disciples, but become a real follower, a real disciple of Jesus Christ. So this morning, Jesus would say to every one of us in here, because that's where we fall. We fall into one of those two categories. We're either Christians, disciples, followers of Christ. We may just be calling ourselves that, but we're either Christians or we're not Christians. Jesus be challenged every one of us with this. Every one of us. Am I a disciple of Jesus Christ? And do I want to be? Is it worth it? Is it worth it to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Count the cost. Count the cost. Jesus doesn't seem to be all that afraid of you counting the cost. It's as if he's saying, if you'll really count the cost, if you really, really count the cost, whatever it costs will seem like nothing because you're one of my disciples. You're a true Christian. You're a true follower of mine. So this morning, if you stand in need of the invitation, whether as a Christian or as one who's not yet become a Christian, if you stand in need of the invitation of Jesus Christ, we stand ready to help you in whatever way is needed. You just come to the front as we stand and sing.